You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.
You're listening to the smooth night sounds of the Liberty Cats. You hepcats and swing kittens, pull up your beanbag, put on your beret, grab that electric pipe, put on that smoking jacket, and put your cat in your lap, because it's time for your daily injection of furry love. Now here's the granddaddies of hip and everything cool, Brian Hagen and Taryn P. Lupo.
And we are the Liberty Cats. So good to have you here with us on this Thursday edition of the show. My name is Brian Hagen, and I have brought along, as usual, my very good friend,
Taryn P. Lupo.
And Taryn P. Lupo, I mean, it has been a great week for the Liberty Cats, and there's just been so much that we've been talking about. We do this every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday on Daily Paul Radio. But we've been talking about so much this week, we haven't really gotten to some of the important news. And some of that important news is what's going on with you and I. I mean, we're the stars of this show. We have all of our fanboys out there listening to this show. We need to tell them more about ourselves so they can dream that they could be living through our experiences.
That is true. So tell me, Brian, what have you been up to and what is going on?
You know, I'll tell you what, Taryn. Last weekend, I can't believe I haven't told this story, man.
Go for it.
Last weekend, I went to Omaha, Nebraska. A friend of mine is an artist, and she has a display open right now at the Omaha Public Library. So we went there to set it up. First of all, the dude who is curating it, he's basically a glorified janitor. Big chode. Biggest chode I've ever met in my life. Super hipster.
Some shady dude that's like, yeah, come on in. And you go in and there's like Oscar Mayer wiener biscuits. And it's in some dude's basement where he lives with his mom.
He's got a few
books. Take a look at my art exhibit.
Yeah, he's got some books on a table going, yep, this is a library. he works at this art center or something. And they call him in to help with the exhibits. And he was just like, these paintings really, you've got to wipe them off. Everything's got to be clean, got to be clean. Then he's doing this weird mathematics algebraic formula to hang the damn things, and they're still crooked by the time this jackhole's done. I just wanted to kick him in the jimmy so bad, Taryn. You have no idea.
Man. Well, I found a secret out to hanging stuff. What you do is you go to the full extension of your arm, put the nail there, and you go around the room and do that everywhere, and you'll have the same height of everything. That's you just use your arm.
Perfect.
Like, as high as it can go.
You don't have to even use algebraic formulas.
No. Unless, of course, you want to hang it at a different height, then you're screwed. But that method works just to get stuff on the wall all equal.
So this dude, he's one of those guys. He uses a lot of words just because he like knows a lot of fancy words. But when you really listen to what he's saying, he's not saying anything at all. It's just like a bunch of fancy words strung together on top of each other. That is so annoying. And I think that happens to people who wear tight, skinny jeans, because he was wearing them. I don't know what it does. It, like, clenches their extremities so tight they can't think right. They just, like, spout out a whole lot of things like, oh, it's a minimalist explosion of bloody, 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 blah.
And, of course, it makes them talk with a lip instantly.
Of course it does. It's because
go right to the lisp?
Yes, it's because of the skinny jeans. Does it every single time. When I'm wearing baggy
clothes. I always wondered, how come people get a lisp when they start to get gay? It was the weirdest damn thing. It's like you have to train yourself to do that? Or
I wondered, too, because I knew this guy.
Is there some sort of genetic thing that happens when you go gay, all of a sudden your voice box changes? Or
I've always wondered that, because I know this guy, and he's straight as straight can be. He's married now, got a kid. But there was a time in college where he decided that he was gay. He just decided one day that he was gay, which is weird in and of itself. And all of a sudden, he started talking with his massive lisp, and it's like, you know.
So you were friends with him long enough to see that change, where
yeah,
he went from normal to lisp?
Yeah, I'd known him for at least 10 years at this point. And yeah, went from normal to lisp.
Maybe it's like, you know, all right, I was born in Virginia, and then I moved. I've been in the South like 25 years, so I picked up a Southern accent as I've been in the South my whole adult life. So I have some Southern accent that comes out that's not what I was born with. So I wonder if it's the same thing. Like, you go in the gay community and they have a lisp, so you have to have a lisp. I mean, is it like the same transition where you just pick it up? I don't know, because it's the weirdest damn thing. But then I knew a bunch of gay guys that did not talk like that or did not act like that. You would never know they were gay.
No, there's a lot of gay guys who are just very, very manly and masculine.
And then if God help you if you're straight and you have a lisp, because you're screwed.
Oh, yeah, everybody thinks you're gay. I've seen that happen a million times. Oh, he's got a lisp. He must be gay, which I didn't realize that the way you talk has really anything to do with your sexuality.
No, but all right. Tell me how many straight guys you know that talk with a lisp and how many gay guys, and it's exponentially more.
You're exactly right. No, Taryn, you're absolutely correct. And whenever I'm doing a gay impression, as awful as it is, because I shouldn't be doing gay impressions, but whenever I do, the first thing I do is start doing a lisp.
That's right.
Hello, everybody.
Because you can't really blame it on, like, gosh, can I say this on the radio? You know, I don't know how to say this with tact, but what?
Taking things in your mouth?
Thank you.
There you go.
But then there would be lots of women with lisps.
Oh, boy. You know? Trust me. Every woman I know would have a massive lisp, yes. That's one of the,
I need to start hanging out with you more.
Hey, sure, that's one of my personal rules. If you're a woman and you're going to be my friends, you have to take things in your mouth. That's just an unspoken rule.
Oh,
they
and
all
speaking
do
of, Brian still has that competition where you can win a night with him at the Irish Music Festival coming up.
That's right.
It could be you.
Go to our Facebook page and
plead your case.
Yeah, plead your case. So anyway, we are the Liberty Cats on this Thursday edition of the show on Daily Paul Radio. Brian Hagan along with Taryn Lupo.
Keep telling us about this. Was it like a Mapplethorpe art experience where you go in and it's a bunch of dirty work?
No, that came later. That came later. Her work's very clean. Well, while we're in Omaha, Nebraska, we end up hitting the town. We end up hitting the downtown. Have you ever been to Omaha, Taryn?
No.
It's a very nice city, actually. I was very impressed. I've been there one other time.
I'm a fan of their steaks.
While I was there, brother, I had a $36 steak.
Omaha steaks? You remember those things that you get in the mail in the 90s?
I bought one. I bought a $36 Omaha steak. I ate it over dinner. It was amazing. Almost $40 on one steak, Taryn.
This must have been one magic cow, or I don't know, that they fed it shards of gold.
Oh, it was like eating nothing else that I've ever put on my tongue, and I've put a lot of things on my tongue, and it was so good it just like melted away. And I thought, that's right, that's what a high roller I am. I buy $36 steaks, yo.
I will admit, once in my life, I had a $170 steak in Las Vegas.
Whoa! Oh.
I did not buy it. My dad bought it for me. I was like, are you crazy? And he's like, man, we're only going to do this once in life. We're going to eat this. We're going to find out what a $170 steak tastes like. And it really wasn't that much different than what you would get at, you know, an upper-end steakhouse. Like, I didn't notice a difference. In fact, the Marriott had a steak for $25 that was better. And I was like – I went to Wolfgang Puck's little thing in Vegas. And, yeah. I couldn't believe, like, the appetizers, the cheapest appetizer was like $45.
Wow, that's just nuts.
Yeah, I've never seen money drop like that. And, you know, of course, I would never go. My dad was like, let's do this once in our life. Let's see what it's about. And we did it.
So I don't feel too bad about buying a $36
steak. Yeah, you got a bargain.
No kidding.
You got a bargain.
I was eating like the Poe folks, apparently. My
$36
steak.
That's pretty good, man. I mean, I'm sure it was good. Anyway, keep going with your Mapplethorpe dirty story.
All right. Well, anyway, so we're out of the library. I've eaten this $36 steak. We're all drunk at this point. We decide to go walking downtown. Well, we end up at a bar, or actually it's a club. This place is huge, and it's called Max's Omaha. Max's Omaha has been voted one of the best gay clubs in America. This place, Taryn, looked like you would think that that Scarface himself would be sitting at one of the tables over in the corner, because there was a place. One side was a huge dance hall. The other side was another huge dance hall. And then there was a place above that was all like glass, like this huge room. It had pool tables and such, and you could overlook the dance hall. But here's the deal, man. The night that we chose to go was leather night. Everyone was wearing leather. There were harnesses. There were chaps. There were men dressed in police uniforms carrying big billy clubs. It was. I mean, everybody was so nice. The first thing I met this guy named Marvin, who was just the sweetest guy in the world. Eventually, I find myself on the dance floor. I'm dancing with a dude. He and I are just like pounding on the dance floor. Our sweat is like mixing with each other's, and
what?
it was just a beautiful moment.
And he had the lisp.
And he had a lisp. Now this dude didn't. Marvin did. This dude did not. But what this dude did have was a medallion that hung perfectly to meet where his shirt unbuttoned at the top. And I was like, that, my friend, is classy. I'll go gay for that.
He planned it out. Yeah, that's like a very 70s thing to do, is to plan the length of your medallion so you can see it.
I do that. I have chains of different lengths just for that exact same purpose. And that's why I was so impressed. People sometimes tell me, Taryn, that I'm the straightest gay guy they've ever known, because I like go out of my way to do that sort of stuff.
I'll have to tell you my experience with playing on a gay rugby team. I'll have to save that story for a next segment, but I'll tell you this much. They have the best damn parties. Like, these guys that my gay friends, when they throw a party, they spend like $3,000 on a party.
Yeah,
and I'm used to, you know, the redneck parties where you show up and it's a keg and some chips.
Well,
you know?
Sure.
There's no spread and a bartender and a theme.
I love that. There's themes. You're right. Everybody's dressed nice. We'll talk more about that. Taryn goes gay for rugby. That's coming up next on this edition of the Liberty Cats on Daily Paul Radio. Thanks for hanging out with us, having a good time. Get out of the cat box for a moment, would you? Get on the old scratching post.
In a world where freedom is fun and everything you thought you knew is wrong, two unlikely voices rose up from the noise. From the minds that brought you Fajita Fun Time and Wheels Off Liberty comes the Liberty Cats. Darren P. Lupo and Brian Hagen are just in time to save us all.
And we are the Liberty Cats. So good to have you here with us, dear friends, on this Thursday. Meow. Got my old, I got my claws out today because I'm feeling a little rambunctious and feeling a little wild. I'm Brian Hagen along with my old friend,
Taryn P. Lupo, and Brian just jumped off my lap and scratched me. They always do that when they leave. My cats plant their nails before they jump, and it's like,
Yeah, I don't know why they do
so
that.
Bad. It hurts so bad.
You would think they're getting ready to release, and you would think that they would not want to claw down, but they do, and I think they do it on purpose, man.
Yeah, it's pretty much like college girls.
Oh,
anyway.
A lot like college girls. Exactly the same.
Where'd that
thing
come from? Okay.
Man, I remember those days. So we were talking earlier about my experiences in Omaha, Nebraska, and having a good time in the gay club and getting down with this guy with the perfectly sized medallion on his chest. Well, that then led you to some fond remembrances of your days of gay rugby, Taryn Lupo. And
I did.
Now I'm intrigued, man. I got to
know about
this
gay
rugby.
Well, I got to give you a little history first. I had played rugby. I was one of the rare people that played rugby in high school. I started when I was a freshman. And so by the time I got into college, I kind of knew what I was doing. And I was way ahead of most people that played rugby, because most people they start in college. They don't start in high school, at least in America. And then what happened is, you know, I had played – rugby parties are so wild. I mean, that is a whole culture. One day we'll just have to have a whole show on what goes on at these parties, because they're awesome. So I'm playing. I play, and I coach some here and there. And so I'd played about 15 years, and I had sold my chiropractic practice, moved back to Atlanta, and I didn't really have anything to do. And the woman I was married to at the time wanted to play women's rugby. But she was complaining that almost everybody was gay. And what happens with women's sports, and I notice this because I've coached a lot of women's rugby, is in high school, maybe 25% are gay. In college, it goes up to 50%. In women's club, it's like 80%. Because what happens is, as it gets older and older, most women drop out to have families or get married and they stop playing. Or, you know, that it. So all that's left are kind of like the gay women. To keep playing. So she was concerned because she didn't want to go play for a gay women's team. And I was like, what's the big deal? And she was like, okay, you go play for the gay men's team that just started, and I'll go play for the women's. So I was like, all right, you're on. I'll go. And so I went out to the gay team. They were just starting out. And I think there was one other token straight guy that came and went. And they were more of a social club because they have – what if you don't know this, a lot of gay sports have their own gay leagues. So all the towns, the major cities like New York and San Antonio or whatever, they all have a gay team on – they'll have their own gay soccer team, their own gay football team, their own gay rugby team.
Rodeo,
and they have
Rodeo does that too, interestingly enough.
That's right. Yeah,
I forgot about gay rodeo. There's the Gay Rodeo Association. Anyway, go on, Taryn.
Same deal. There's a gay rugby association, and the gay teams play each other. And not trying to be mean, but their skill level is not what the straight guys are, because you're talking about they're kind of playing for the social aspect that other gay men play, and they want to hang out and do. Now, they're not bad. Some of the teams are pretty good, but a lot of them are brand new, and they're playing clubs that are established that have been playing 40 years, and they're 2 years old. So they usually get – they're just not usually the same caliber. So I was kind of fat and out of shape, but I had played almost, close to 15, 20 years, something like that, when I started playing. So they gave me I immediately started. I had a good position. I even though I really wasn't that good of shape. So I went out and I played with these guys. And really, once you get on the field, it's fine. You don't even notice they're gay. They hit just as hard as straight guys. You wouldn't know. But then the parties are different.
Wait, wait a minute. They're not wearing like boas out there on the field.
Now, I will tell you, some of the fans are. Some of the fans will show up with that stuff. Like, they'll be like full out drag queens on the sideline.
Oh, that's awesome.
Cheering.
That's
it's
fantastic.
Yeah.
So the parties. And the parties were great.
Yeah, because the gay club knows how to manage money, and they make money. They did car washes for money and stuff like that. And their dues were a little more expensive, but man, you would go to these things, and I'm used to one keg in a bar that maybe has some free chips going on, and everybody throws beer on each other in the bar, and they usually get mad and throw you out.
Right.
Rugby clubs, just they're kind of like a locust. They move to one bar to another bar to another bar. Eventually you run out of bars, and then it goes to a field. But these guys set it up, man. There was a full food spread. There was it was catered, I was like, what? because part of rugby tradition is you don't go home and shower. You go to the bar still wearing your cleats, muddy and bloody. You show up and you hang out with the other team when you're done. And unlike American sports, you go party with the other team when you finish.
Oh, really?
Because, you guys might hate each other on the field, but when you get to the bar, you're buddies and you drink with the guys that just, belted you. And rugby's a pretty violent game. So what it does is it really builds a lot of camaraderie that you don't hate these people you play against. And I think it's a very, very great tradition because you'd never see the Redskins and Cowboys go hang out and party together.
Never, no.
But rugby, they do. That's part of the culture. You go and hang out with the team you played. And so if you're hosting the game, they come to your bar and you host them and they sing songs and you sing dirty songs and somebody usually gets naked and beer gets thrown. And it's a hell of a deal. With the gay club, though, it was a much cleaner experience and they threw the best party. I always want to go to their party because they drop so much money. And yes, I got hit on a lot. But once you kind of put the vibe out that, you're straight and you're straight – they pretty much are nice. And what's really cool is that they kind of treat you different because you have a lot of courage. I took a lot of heat for playing for a gay club, man. Some of my straight friends didn't even talk to me or come to my games or anything. They just assumed I went gay.
Really?
I was like, no, man, I'm just playing on this team.
Isn't that amazing how people's attitudes really come through and you see the true person when you make a decision like that?
Yeah, and it was – I'm amazed. It's kind of like when you join Facebook and you get all – you start actually being who you really are and everybody defriends you from
yes.
your old life.
Oh, trust
and you're
me.
Like, okay, I guess I really wasn't that good friends with them. We were just drinking buddies.
That's happened to me so many times.
What ended up
women.
Happening, though, is the gay teams give you a lot more opportunities to do things. I was able to play and start in the Gay World Cup where I would have never been that good on a straight team. And I actually even scored, playing for the World Cup, and it was really cool to go to that event. Yeah, it was really cool. So it opened a lot of doors, but I ended up just getting hurt and hurt and hurt. Once you get over 35, man, it's no fun to play rugby. It's like a train wreck afterward.
Yeah, what drew you to that game, Taryn? Because like you said, it is extremely violent. I myself, the only sport I ever kind of played was tennis. I was on our local recreation commission's tennis.
I must have a picture of you in tennis outfit.
Yeah, so I had it, headband and everything, man.
You must post this picture. I want to see the real high shorts in the 80s. Do you remember those shorts?
Oh,
what was
sure.
up with that?
That's what they were, too. They were like really high. Like I remember specifically, I had royal blue ones, right? And then the shirt was white with like royal blue piping to match it. You know,
yeah, and there was always the shorts had piping around, and it was cut up the side, like, all the way to your hip bone.
Oh, yeah, always.
And it was very – I don't know if you guys remember the Bruce Jenner nut huggers that he would wear, like, oh, you know, in the Olympics. Everything was there. His manteau was out.
Yeah, you hid nothing in those days.
I just don't understand, because I remember thinking – we used to have the same kind of shorts in junior high, and they were so embarrassing. And you know, of course, they always come with the white striped socks. That
oh,
pull
always,
up.
Yeah.
The tube socks with the colors striped around them.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and I wore those for playing tennis, too. I mean, like, my whole outfit, it's kind of like I am today, you know, going back to the gay party. I've always, like, wanted to, like, match and look good. And if I spilled anything on my little tennis outfit or it got just a little bit sweaty, that was the main thing. I didn't want to play because that meant I would get sweaty, and it meant that I would get my clothes sweaty and dirty. And I hated getting dirty. I hated, what am I mean? Why am I putting that in past tense? I still hate it. To this day, Taryn, you're about to see at Porkfest this year. You know, watch me closely when I get into my tent. I'll be like tiptoeing in there. And if there's a bug, you'll be hearing me scream like a little girl. Because I'm just the biggest mamby-tamby there is when it comes to that sort of thing.
Yeah, you're the first one to go in the zombie times.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not going to make it at all. I'm just going to I'm going to drink myself stupid is what I'm going to do. Pills and booze if the zombies come, because there ain't no hope for a guy like me. Hey, we've got more to talk about as we're kind of on a, well, it's a gay club night here. Feel free to get down. Feel free to dance. Yeah. We're feeling kind of German. That's the way we like it on the Liberty Cats. Do what you will, my friends. Do what you will. Be right back.
Hi, this is Taryn Lupo from Liberty Cats. I've been buying gold and silver for over 20 years. I've made some good buys and I've made some poor buys. Most of the time, the prices and markups were too high from the companies I found. Other times, I was tricked into buying fake gold and silver. There's a large learning curve to becoming a good buyer when you're trying to figure it out all on your own. The good news is I finally found someone I trust who is affordable and private. For the last few years, I've only purchased my precious metals from Roberts & Roberts. They make it easy, fast, and discreet. Everything I've ever purchased has been excellent quality at an excellent price. I publicly vouch for the folks at Roberts & Roberts that they'll give you a square deal. Right now, prices on silver are ridiculously low, and it's a great time to buy. Check out Roberts & Roberts.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Grand Wizards of Funk, the Liberty Cats. These hep caps know how to drop such a furry and funk-tastic rhythm, you'll be solid all night long. You jive hustlers, go get your boots on, flip your grip, and be swelligant to each other. Now, here's the bucket from Nantucket, Brian Hagen, and the Lothario from Ontario, Taryn P. Lupo.
We are your Liberty Cats. My name is Brian Hagen, along with...
Taryn P. Lupo, meow, baby.
Yeah, that's right. I got my little kitty collar on tonight because, well, we've been taking you out clubbing virtual style here on the radio, out there to all those clubs where all the cool cats are hanging out. Actually, we've been talking about my experiences in Omaha, Nebraska, where I went to a gay club, which was a lot of fun, which then, of course, just naturally led into Taryn telling me stories about playing on a gay rugby team. And I had posed to you the question after you talked about the gay rugby team and the gay parties that you would have after those gay rugby matches. I asked you, Taryn, what drew you to rugby in the first place? It's such a rough game, man. I mean, was it the smell of other men? Was it your sweat mixing together on the field? What was it?
No, I mean, I used to wrestle, and that was a lot more gay. You know, wrestling, although probably the hardest workout of my life, it was – I don't know if you've ever been through a wrestling practice, but they are brutal. And so I used to wrestle. I played football. I played soccer. And what happened was when I played football, I was kind of like a linebacker or a lineman. And all you did was kind of one job. You just ran and, okay, block that guy and block that guy. And you spent all season blocking a guy. And I was like, this is so stupid and boring. And when you play rugby, you get to be the offense, the defense, the kicker, the runner. Anytime you do whatever the heck you want if you can get the ball. And it's a lot more – and I don't like wearing pads. I always thought that was ridiculous. So it just fit me a lot better because I find every other sport really boring compared to it. Football, I played semi-pro football, and it was mind-numbingly boring compared to it.
What about you mentioned wrestling. What about pro wrestling, Taryn?
Yes. I loved me some pro wrestling. All right, real quick, I have to tell this story. All right, I didn't understand what real high school wrestling was. I'd never seen it when I signed up for the team.
Oh, no.
And so I went out for my first wrestling practice, and the coach is like, okay, let's see where you guys are at. Go ahead and start wrestling. So we start wrestling, and I picked up a guy and did a DDT and dropped him on his neck, and people freaked out. And they were like, you can't do that. I was like, I thought this was wrestling. I had no clue, and I was doing real wrestling moves.
I remember when my friend got into wrestling, and I went to a match, and I thought, oh, this is going to be awesome. And they're out there wrestling, and I'm like, when does the wrestling start? Because that's exactly what I thought. I thought there'd be, like, flashy costumes. I thought there would be a ring.
Do a soliloquy for a bit and a monologue and talk about yourself.
Yeah, exactly. There'd be, like, hot women walking around. But no, it's like two sweaty dudes, like, in jock straps, like, holding each other down on a mat. And I'm just like, I don't even think my eyes should be watching this right now.
Yeah, there's some pretty gay positions you accidentally get into in wrestling.
Oh, it's like you're behind the guy and you're like...
You definitely get a little too close to sex sometimes.
It's just weird. But, you know, this week, Taryn, we lost a real icon of the wrestling movement as the Ultimate Warrior has left this world to fight wars elsewhere, my friend.
Yeah, and I remember I hadn't been this upset since Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh, I know. That was awful. That was tragic.
I can't remember how he died. Is it just like heart attack, steroided out?
It was a car wreck, but I think it was precipitated by a car wreck car wreck. Precipitated by a car wreck. I think he had a heart attack behind the wheel, if I remember correctly.
And then how did the Ultimate Warrior go out?
You know, I don't know yet. According to the article I have right here in front of me, it says that wrestling icon Jim the Ultimate Warrior Hellwig died last evening at the age of 54. So this was earlier in the week. So far, no reason has been given for his passing. So his real name was Jim Hellwig, and I think this is interesting. He legally changed his name to Warrior. Not Ultimate Warrior, but just Warrior. So I guess he was Warrior Hellwig. Oh,
I think didn't that change? I mean, I hadn't watched wrestling in a long time, but I think he went from the Ultimate Warrior to Warrior for a while. And then, if I remember right, wasn't there a couple false Ultimate Warriors? Like, he stepped down for a while and let someone else dress up and make up and come out as him.
You are correct. And then there was like, it's the real Warrior, because then he returned on one of the – I'll tell you what, I think pro wrestling is one of the most brilliant performance arts there is.
I would love to be a writer for it.
Me
too. I would have such a good time.
I would too. I mean, they come up with these complex.
Get away with anything.
Yeah, they're complex, but they're just full of disbelief. They're just so over the top.
It's so funny, and the cameras always happen to be at the right place at the right time when drama's going down.
There'll
be like a fight in the parking lot, and they just happen to be there.
Yeah, a back alley, like blocks away, and the cameras just happen to be there.
That's right.
And back in the day, of course,
possibly couldn't be staged.
Not only would it be the cameras back in the day, but Mean Gene Okerlund would be there too, you know, narrating all of it. Remember Mean Gene Okerlund? He was the voice of pro wrestling.
I liked all the side characters. Remember?
Me too.
Paul Bearer and, who was the one with the microphone? Jimmy. Jimmy Hart?
Was it Jimmy Hart? Fabulous Jimmy Hart?
I can't remember. Yeah,
he was great. I love those guys.
Macho Man's Elizabeth.
Yeah, Elizabeth. When I got into wrestling, it was probably about the same time you did. It was like early to mid '80s. It was so different than it is today. I'm not a real big fan of the modern wrestling. It was more comic book driven, I always thought, back in our day. The characters that were more defined. You had like Rowdy Roddy Piper. Of course, Hulk Hogan, and most of these guys had come from that, like, real redneck wrestling circuit. Like, they'd come from nothing. There's a city just 20 miles to my north called St. Joseph, Missouri. And St. Joe was like one of those hot spots of wrestling back in like the 50s and the 60s, where these guys would just like nonstop tour, be going into city to city, working their butts off, you know, throwing matches. I love the history of the sport, and it's so sad to me when one of those old-timers like the Ultimate Warrior leaves this world, leaving just the John Cena's to take their place. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, they're
anymore.
Just not the same characters. No. As good, I don't think, as far as drama-wise. But to be fair, I don't really watch much modern wrestling. I watch Kane once in a while, but sure. That's it. And I'm friends with Glenn Jacob. I could probably get him on the show. I'll have to call him up and see if he'll come on. But he usually doesn't want to talk wrestling. He usually wants to talk philosophy.
That'd be fun. That'd be great.
So,
man, yeah,
we can't actually mention that he's a wrestler.
That's fine. I mean, give him a call sometime. We'll get him on the show.
We'll get him on here one of these days. I'll harass him into it.
Well, and it's funny because you know, thinking back on those days of wrestling in the 80s, and I remember, you know, breaking out the old VHS tapes and recording them if it was on too late. And it's funny, Taryn, a lot of times this is what happens on the Liberty Cats, because we're two old men who just get to talking. And what happens when two old men get to talking? We get to reminiscing. And it takes me back to the days of the VHS, and I love those videotape days. And I've got a little story. It's in modern times, but it kind of like connects the two. Remember when there was a thing called video stores?
I still remember those. It was a very big deal growing up, by the way.
Sure, you'd go in there and you'd actually rent the movie. Well, you had kind of pointed this out. Every once in a while here on the Liberty Cat Show, Taryn likes to try to find me the perfect woman. And so far, not so good. We have not found the perfect woman. But this woman in question that you had pointed out to me recently is named Kayla Finley. And she was jailed for not returning a J-Lo movie to the now-closed video store in South Carolina. 27-year-old Kayla Michelle Finley's arrest came after she had rented the movie Monster in Law from Dalton Videos back in 2005. Oh, hang on. Jennifer Lopez wants to drop by for a minute, Taryn. She's going to say something.
What is wrong with you? You J-Los can't even keep a beat.
Oh,
I deserve better than this. I am Kayla Lopez. Where is my water?
That's not very nice at all, Jennifer Lopez. So anyway, Finley has Monster in Law, and she was at the sheriff's office for something else. The warrant was found. Finley spent the night in jail before she was released for having this horrible Jennifer Lopez movie, Monster in Law, Taryn.
Yeah, not insulting enough that you get arrested for a VHS, an overdue VHS, but that you have to admit that you watched a J-Lo movie.
That's exactly it. And decided
it's
to
the
keep...
the ultimate slap in the face.
You like this J-Lo movie so much, you decided, you know what? I'm not even going to return it to the store. Monster in Law is my new favorite movie, says Kayla Michelle Finley. Well, the nice thing is there is a very happy outcome to this. And by the way, Taryn, I'm not dating Kayla because she likes Jennifer Lopez way too much. In my world of celebrity, you know I'm a very celebrity-driven sort of guy. All my crushes are like Taylor Swift and Ashley Tisdale and Brenda Song and all the Miley Cyrus. But Jennifer Lopez is not, I repeat, in that list of women that I think are hot. She's good-looking, but it's a very fake sort of thing. Whatever. So Kayla Finley, not going to be dating her anytime soon. Good news does come. They decided to drop the charges. So Kayla is now free to go out and pirate movies online. So.
That's right. Steal them like the rest of us.
Exactly. And welcome to the modern age, Kayla Finley.
VHS used to be a big deal. Like Brian's talking about how you would go to the store. And man, we used to bug my dad every Friday. Because, you know, you don't have a car. You have nothing to do. You're a little kid. We'd go get, you know, VHS, VHS, VHS. And they would have a deal where you could get, I don't know, like 5 movies for $15, you know, and had to bring them back. It was a big deal if you didn't bring them back. And what else did you have to do?
Rewind. Be kind.
That's right.
Rewind.
You got in trouble if you didn't rewind them.
They would fine you. Some video stores would go like $2 if you didn't rewind the tape.
They had your credit card. They probably made a fortune on that. And then we would always try to trick my dad into getting stuff out of the adult section. Like he wouldn't know any better what these movies were.
Right.
And so – and there was a lot of – at the time kind of grindhouse movies where they were, you know, some sort of swamp monsters, you know, raping a topless woman.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, those were
huge. It's just horrible that you would never know from the title, the swamp – creature of Alabama or something.
Yeah, Rapes Five Women was like the title.
Right. It was always some sort of TNA movie that we tried to get my dad to get. And he, poor guy, he just didn't know. And especially the fantasy stuff. There was a time in the 80s where some reason nude fantasy got hot.
Oh, yes, it sure like, did. I'd watch it on HBO when my mom would be away.
Right. There would be like some Conan the Barbarian kind of deal with topless women. And it was always just – it was never hardcore. It was always like topless girls. But, you know, it's Sheena, enough when you're a kid.
Sheena, Queen of the Jungle was one of those.
Oh,
starring – I can't think of her name offhand. She was on Charlie's Angels, blonde, beautiful green eyes. Oh, and she got topless for one scene. I wore the pause button off of the remote control that was attached to the VCR with the cord. I wore it off because I would just sit there and like click it in advance and just slowly.
And you were so screwed if you broke that cord because you couldn't get another remote. Like it was impossible to get another remote.
Unless you spent like $200.
Right. You were so expensive if you lost any part. So you'd have to stand up and like pause and play and pause. It was great. God, and we used to break tapes. We'd wear them out.
Oh, video, you know.
You could open them up and tape them back together and make them play again.
Sure, absolutely. And it's funny because VHS is really just kind of a good example, I've long thought, a symbol of the hierarchy, and I'm turning this back to Liberty because we are the Liberty Cats, of a hierarchy taking on the little guy. And I say that because Betamax was the other alternative to VHS tapes. Betamax was the better format. Betamax didn't break. Betamax recorded better. Betamax had better sound. Betamax was great. But you know what? The companies behind VHS included some of the huge movie studios who colluded together to stop Betamax from being the lead in the households, thus sticking us with the far inferior VHS tapes. Otherwise, it would have been Betamax. But the rich said no, and they dictated what we would have in our households, Taryn.
Do you think there was some sort of subsidies that they got?
Sure.
Or some sort of reason, you know, for manufacturing that made them a little cheaper?
Yeah.
I bet there was some sort of puppet behind the pulling the string somewhere that someone who owns the companies also owns the studios, also owns... You know, I'm sure if you followed the money, there's a good reason why they won.
Sure. And then, of course, that was like the first time that a tax was put on something like that. You know, a special tax was put on VCRs and videotapes.
Because, oh, I forgot about that.
Yes. That was the first time that happened. It was because the movie studios were saying, we're going to lose money on our movies from these videotapes. So we get to have extra money. You're going to have to tax those videotapes. So every time you would buy a blank videotape, there'd be a tax on it that wasn't on any other product. The same thing then started happening to cassette tapes and any other recordable medium, and it remains to this day. I know blank CDs have some sort of a tax on them.
I had no idea. I never noticed that. That's crazy.
It's really, really awful, man.
It's amazing how government taxes stuff. Like, you know, there was a time where your cell phone was just a cell phone bill. It didn't have extra taxes. And the way they tax on already subsidized utilities that – is getting massive amounts of money, you know, back and forth between the government. And they always – what can you do? Like not have electricity?
Right, exactly.
You can't have a phone? It's like it's such a dirty way to tax you.
It is such a dirty way. And it's so funny to read like the breakdown. It's like the such-and-such utility tax, the such-and-such phone pole tax. And it's like really – they just throw all these little things. And, yeah, I think it's amazing when you think back to those days – how they were taxing videotapes and VCRs and cassette recorders and cassette tapes. And they'll always find out some way. And again, they use the rich folk up at the top, that is the heads of the movie studios, to get that extra tax. One thing I do want to say, Taryn, real quick before we have to wrap things up here on the show. I don't know if you remember this or not. Maybe it was just because I'm from the middle of podunk nowhere. When videotapes first came out, VHS first came out back in like 80 or something like that. We had a VCR here. My dad wanted one. He was crazy like that. You had to go to this little pagoda. It was like in the parking lot of a grocery store. You'd go in, you'd borrow the book. It was like this poorly reproduced Xerox three ring binder thing. And you'd go through it and you'd pick out the movies. Then you'd fill them out on a card and give them to the person in the pagoda. They'd then send them off. And about a week later, your movies would arrive.
Wow, I didn't know that's how they started the pagoda style.
That was the first rental. Yes, that was how rentals first began, was this pagoda style. You fill out the card, they send in the card, your movies arrive about a week later. Then we ended up with the video store like you're talking about, and I remember there was a big curtain, and you wanted to get behind that curtain because that's where all the adult fare was, man. Hollywood yeah. Video, it was called.
I forgot that they had the dirty section that you could go in. And then you, if you're really lucky, we used to just go to the gas stations where they just did not care.
Oh yeah, anyone. as long as you could reach your hand on the counter, they'd sell you a porn VHS. They didn't care.
No problem.
Hey, we're gonna put the wraps on this little puppy on this Thursday edition of the Liberty Cats on this 10th day of April, 2014, the year of the kitty. Let's all get together and do a little scratching pole boogie, doing our little catnip together. Oh, right off the table, whole fresh.
Buffy, darling, put down your crumpets and listen to these clever chaps. They made me chuckle so hard my monocle fell off. It would be a capital idea if you tuned in to the Liberty Cats every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 6 p.m. on Daily Paul Radio. They're our kind of people, darling. Now, excuse me, darling. I have to go roll around in all my money naked.
Well, I've been doing this entire show in my robe with nothing on underneath it. My name is Brian Hagan, along with...
the very naked Taryn Lupo.
I like that. That's the way it should be. I'm going to start doing this show naked in a headband and wristbands. Remember how popular...
in your tennis racket from the 80s.
Yes, exactly.
The big wooden tennis racket.
Oh, sure. Oh, I had that, like the electrical tape wrapped around the handle and everything.
That would never stay on. That grip tape always fell off.
Always fell off. And then your hands were like all sticky and... oh, it's just gross. Well, this has been, if I do say so myself, another great edition of the Liberty Cats. I just think it's amazing how we get better and better with every show. Our greatness is truly showing through, and that goes for both me and Taryn P. Lupo. I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in today, and Taryn, we had a lot of great lessons in this show. Do not steal Jennifer Lopez videotapes is one of them.
Jail offense.
Yes, it is. You can go to jail for stealing a copy of Monster in Law, as Kayla Finley found out.
What a slap in the face.
It really is.
I mean, how do you explain that one to your kids?
That's just awful.
Mommy really liked J-Lo.
Also, how do you explain to your kids that you spent time at gay rugby clubs and at gay rugby parties?
Maybe you'll have a gay kid. It'll come all around.
How do I explain to my kids that I had way so much fun in Omaha, Nebraska at a gay club last weekend? These were the topics that we explored on this edition, Taryn.
Did you try to dress in the leather or not? Did they like have a leather outfit at the door?
No.
Like, you can't come in unless you wear these suspenders.
No. They don't want that. The leather. Do some reading sometime. I did some reading this week. And I had done it before, too, on the leather crowd history. It's very, very fascinating. It comes from military and biker history, and they're very specific in who wears what and how you wear it and who does this and that. I find it fascinating.
I think we need to have a show about that. If you are into that leather culture, please let us know, and we will get you on.
Yes.
I bet there's a pecking order and a hierarchy. And
there is. Yes, there is. Yes, get a hold of us. We would love to hear about that. We would love to talk leather culture.
What's your phone number?
Yeah, these are the important... I don't have it in front of me, and we're running out of time. Allison Bricker's waving me down saying, no, cut it. I've got my show. So
you're
Allison,
on your own. You don't need our phone number.
Yeah, find it on the website. It's probably there somewhere. We're out. Bye. Later. Ow!
You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.